I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And in true fashion, we're taking turns with sinus issues, congestion, colds, allergies.
Yeah, I came back from a work trip to pollen season. So it is just yellow here.
It's a tough one, but we're going to get through it. And I happen to think that you sound fabulous, and I enjoy listening to you all the time, so.
Well, I appreciate that. Okay, so this case,
oh, yeah. Boy. Your face says it all.
Well, okay, so I guess we're going to dive in, and then we'll get to.
I like how at this stage of the game, you are like, I'm not going to waste my time trying to put into words anything. I'm just going to let you listen. And then we'll talk.
Yeah, it's because this one is a weird one in a different way than normal.
I'm so curious what you mean by that, so I'm excited.
Today we're going to talk about Jesse Conger. It's a newer case, so we don't have the whole, like, in 1991, this is what happened. All we know is, I don't even have a date of birth. There's not a Charlie Project page.
Oh, this is where I was last week, except you're more comfortable with that.
So I think that he was born in 1982. I know that he was 37 when he went missing.
Okay.
But I don't know, like, what month of the year, so it was likely 82. If I'm off by the year, I apologize. All we really know is that he's a twin sister, and he joined the Marines out of high school. He really made a career out of being a Marine. He quickly rose to sergeant. Now, I do know that he has two kids that live with his ex/wife/girlfriend. I don't know. Not a whole lot out there. Either way.
Okay.
He did three tours overseas. He was an expert rifleman. He was in Iraq. And he was responsible for supporting Marine air assets.
My goodness.
Yeah, I'm going to read you some of his, like, responsibilities directly from an article. He oversaw 40,700 flight hours, 65,000 transported passengers, 9 million pounds of cargo moved. While in Iraq, he was subject to indirect fire attacks. His performance reviews always were exceptional. He volunteered to become a rescue swimmer. And in that role, he accumulated 875 flight hours, flew 40 separate search and rescue missions, and directly saved 25 lives.
He's like, oh, I have a couple hours left in my day. What else can I volunteer for?
He also founded a nonprofit that taught wounded soldiers how to surf.
Makes me feel like I've got nothing going on.
And here is, you know, this is not going to be a political debate, but I will say this. Jesse really suffered from PTSD and depression from after his military service. And I do not think we are doing enough to support people that fight for our country.
Absolutely, hands down.
All right. So Jesse is home, struggling with some mental health issues. We're going to go to April of 2019. A woman called the police on April 19th to report that she was scared of her boyfriend, Jesse Conger. He had been drinking heavily and had access to multiple firearms. No crimes were committed that evening, but she was just really scared and didn't know what else to do. She said he's a combat veteran with a PTSD who uses alcohol and marijuana to self-medicate. And go ahead.
I mean, no, it sounds like a lot of tragic stories that I've heard about, our military personnel who have been on the front lines, but as well as police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and so on.
So here's where it kind of escalated. She goes on to say he had been violent, verbally abusive, and threatened to kill her and himself, and regularly pushes her for disagreeing with him.
Okay.
She was granted a temporary protective order and submitted text messages to the court that I'm not going to read because they're know that they threatened her life and his.
Okay.
A month later, when Jesse gave his statement, he said that she came at him first and threw a water bottle at his head while he was sleeping. And it became a he said, she said.
I see.
Either way, it was not a good situation. They broke up, and a court date was scheduled for the end of August. August 14th, 2019. It sounds like he was in a new relationship because all they refer to as his girlfriend, but I don't think it was the same girlfriend from before.
Oh, okay, so likely they got back together.
No, I think it's a different girl.
Oh, you do think it's a different girl? I thought I heard that.
Sorry, no, I think that it is a different girl. I think it's a different person.
Okay.
So now he's living in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he leaves his girlfriend's apartment in that morning of August 14, 2019. He left his cell phone, his wallet, his ID, and his service dog behind.
I guess I'm just wondering why. I mean, you'd leave with any of that, but mostly your service dog.
He is seen on security video leaving alone.
Okay.
And he has never been seen again.
What time in the day was this?
Morning.
Okay.
I'll go through the rest, and then we can talk about it, but there's literally no other sightings. September 10th, an arrest warrant was issued for him in Utah for the missing the court date scheduled for the end of August.
Oh.
Because he didn't show up to court.
But was he already reported missing from family?
Yes, the girlfriend reported him missing, but it doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I think as a technicality, that's what you have to do when someone doesn't show up. But I think if no police report, missing persons report was ever filed, it could look like he ditched that day or something. But there's record that he had been missing for a while. It just supports a different story, I think.
Yep, she filed a missing person report on August 15th. He missed court on the 29th, which was 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And then the judge issued the arrest warrant.
Okay.
Which, truthfully, I think is probably more helpful because they had more law enforcement looking for him.
Well, I mean, perhaps, but sometimes these cases just get pushed aside.
Okay, so that's in August. There's literally nothing, not one thing, till January 23rd.
Okay.
5 months later, his car was discovered on the San Carlos Apache Indian Reservation. It's about 100 miles from where
mm-hmm.
he was staying. The car had a full tank of gas. It was cluttered with papers and loose change and covered in dust.
So there for a while.
Yes.
Hmm.
Now, here's where his sister has told, I don't want to say quite a few stories, but has had quite a few approaches to where he might be.
Okay.
At first, they said, we're very, very hopeful that he's out camping and just lost track of time. Okay. She also noted in the same conversation, he's a big advocate of veteran mental health because of his struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said that she thinks he went to Mexico. But he's not running from his charges. He's just not in the right state of mind.
Okay.
Then they said that maybe he was going back to Utah, where his kids, his family, everyone lives there. Then that evolved to, we believe that he went to die by suicide.
Not that I didn't think that probably was a theory. I think I just wasn't expecting you to go there right now.
And I'm going to read you what his sister wrote on their website. And it's harsh, and I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, but the simple truth is our armed forces are in crisis. On average, 22 veterans take their own lives every day. There's no mystery behind Jesse's depression and PTSD. And then she bullet points the following. One, he purchased Xanax, a dangerous drug that he knows makes him paranoid. Two, he left his service dog Oreo, money, and all means of communication at Natasha's apartment. Three, he drove in the opposite direction of his children. Four, he drove until he came to a section of desert with no lights and turned down a small dark road. Five, he drove out to the very end of a treacherous road that he knew would be impossible for him to drive back out of. Six, he got out and walked away from the car. Seven, when he got to the place he was going, he swallowed all the pills and if that didn't kill him, he had his pistol as a backup.
Well, she certainly makes a compelling argument.
So that's sort of where we are. There's no other information. Do you want theories?
Well, just, yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of know what some are, but let's just lay them all out and look at what we have here.
Sure. There's died by suicide, obviously. There is left his life. And there is a mental break. And it just is inadvertently leaving his life, if that makes sense.
Associated to the mental break?
Yeah, kind of like a la Bryce LaPisa.
Okay.
Right, where we think that he may have literally had a mental break, not know who he is, but he's still alive out there somewhere, just dealing with the mental health issues.
Okay, so nowhere is there this guy leaves, but because of maybe his mental state, he walks into some foul play.
No.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm just saying that's not one of the theories that are widely discussed.
Yeah, because I think when people are vulnerable because of a mental state, it does put them at more risk of something terrible happening.
I would agree with you.
But I guess we don't have enough information to support that in any way, shape, or form.
It makes me absolutely nuts that, like, so when I first started reading this, I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot. And there's, like, 100 articles. They all have, like, the same 4 pieces of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is not helpful.
Off the bat, it's hard for me to know where to start because generally we start with ones we seem to think are more, or I'm sorry, ones we seem to think are less likely. But all of them have some weight. I think.
I do want to say, I apologize, I misspoke before, and not really misspoke, but his car was found on an Indian reservation, right?
Yeah.
According to the Reddit, people that are on the reservation have been attacked and robbed before.
Hmm. Okay.
So although there's not foul play in that, in, like, a real theory, I think it's possible that we discuss that wrong place, wrong time.
Hmm.
Where do you want to go first? I think they're all equally as likely.
And that's where I'm struggling with. I mean, first of all, leaving your service dog speaks volumes to me because you could leave your phone or your wallet. So I just feel like even if you're going out to the mailbox, that's something that you would take your service dog to do because I assume he has it due to his mental health. And
yes,
his mental health can be impacted at any given time. So we'd always want his dog with him. Does that make sense?
100%. Which I guess leads us down a path of he intentionally was leaving. Was he trying to leave his life or die by suicide?
But he cared about his dog. So he had to, I think, have known that if he was leaving, he was doing so with purpose and would be back, and whatever the situation would not be an appropriate place for the dog, or that he would be looked for by someone soon so that his dog wouldn't be put in any danger by being left alone for, say, days at a time.
Well, he lived with a girlfriend.
I forgot all about living with a girlfriend. Okay. So he knew that this wasn't going to be a situation where his dog was left suffering.
Oh, yeah. No, he knew that his girlfriend was going to be there.
But if he set out to harm himself, he probably wouldn't put his dog in that position.
What do you mean?
Because it would honestly scare the dog, you know, if he passed away. And
oh, yeah. Like, he would have left the dog behind if right. he was going to do that.
Or... yes. Being put in a position where the dog would, he wouldn't know when someone was coming to find him or rescue him. So he wouldn't want his dog to be left without food, security, water.
Yes, I agree with all of that.
And just because you're having some type of mental break doesn't mean you can't access those feelings. So I guess that doesn't even help me distinguish whether he was of clear mind or not. But on the other hand, if you're really struggling with your mental health until you're in a place where you're maintaining, can we say that he's really struggling 24/7 with this? So he's never in the right frame of mind.
And what does that mean? Hold on. Can you back up? You said unless you're in a place in what you're maintaining. For us non-mental health professionals, what does that mean?
Meaning, when I think of maintaining, it's that you're coping without any significant ebbs and flows in your mental illness going into, like, dark depression, psychosis, or anything. Like, you are on a decent, for example, could be medication regimen and therapy regimen where you're like, yeah, there's nothing significant that's driving me between these big ups and downs.
Okay. I don't think he was there.
Right. So that makes me think that we can never really consider him in a quote unquote steady or best mental health frame of mind.
Correct. But what does that mean?
I guess it's just giving me some context that whatever decision he made, whether it was to leave and leave for a long period of time or die by suicide, you can be in a bad place but still have the wherewithal to know, like, I'm not bringing my dog because I don't want my dog to be hurt.
So does that mean you lean toward die by suicide? And if that's the case, do you think he went...
I might.
He went and, like, parked his car and then walked for however long?
I mean, it's possible. And not so that no one would find him or anything like that, but... maybe he just wanted to be in a place that reminded him of peace.
My only struggle with that is, why drive to a reservation 100 miles away?
Maybe this isn't something that is super thought out. Maybe he drove until he felt like he found a place.
Like his sister said?
Yeah, maybe so. What she said really resonated with me, I guess.
But I also struggle with the fact that, like, she's like, I think he ran to Mexico, or I think he did this. Do you think he could have just left his life?
I lean towards no. And I'm trying to keep in mind our story on Richard Halliday.
Yeah.
Both had some things that they had to deal with in their lives, but was it really enough to leave their own lives? And I just want to remind everyone that when we throw out leave your life, you don't just pack up and leave. Like, there is a lot of tape that prevent or makes it very challenging for someone to actually do that.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I guess I struggle with, aside from, you know, my life is tough, I'm really struggling mentally. He probably would have had some charges that he had to deal with, but none of this was like you're going to jail for 20 years.
Right. And based on what I've read, it sounds like he's in a new relationship.
Right. It just doesn't seem to match for me that there are things that are significantly going to impact your future so much so that you're going to leave your life, very similar to how I felt about Richard.
Right, but if it's a mental health thing, I think that's different.
That is true.
Because he's not thinking about it logically.
And that's what makes some of these mental health issues so difficult, because when we try to solve missing persons cases or any case where there's questions, we try to look at the evidence and a logical framework of thought. And anything goes in these cases.
So with your experience, though, with mental health, do you think this is likely more a died by suicide and went off somewhere? Or we didn't even talk about, could it have been foul play? Could he have been, like, I don't know, in a bad place and just going for a ride and then foul play happened?
It could have, but
I think that's least likely.
I think the other alternatives that we have make a little bit more sense.
I think I'm frustrated with the lack of information that's out there.
And I can appreciate where you're coming from. I often find myself in those positions. I think I land on that he probably died by suicide. I think he would have taken his dog for almost any other reason.
Unless he was leaving.
Why not leave with your dog?
I don't know.
Because if he was just leaving to get away for a little bit.
I don't know.
He still would have taken the dog, most likely. He would have known he needed his dog. And he, I assume, loves his dog. So, unless you're going to die by suicide and don't want to put your dog in harm's way, or you're leaving your life, which I don't even necessarily think that you'd still leave your dog behind, I feel like he went to take his own life.
I guess I'd like to know more about how his car was found.
What do you think that would tell you?
Well, like, how was it? Was it in the woods somewhere? Or was it in a parking lot? You know what I mean? Like, it's on a reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, was it a parking lot? Was it in the middle of kind of like a rural field? Was it parked near a tree line?
Right. And there's nothing about searches, which makes me say, like, okay, when they found the car, how did they search near it? I mean, I'm sure they did, but there's nothing about it.
I mean, okay, now that you say that, I think that's a totally valid reason to want to know more about that.
And, like, if they did search it, how far did he get?
I mean, for all we know, he could have caught a bus somewhere at that point.
And that's my point. If he caught a bus, he didn't die by suicide.
I don't necessarily think that's what happened, but I know why you would want to know that now, because that does open up some other possibilities.
So I'm reading an article on their Facebook, the Find Jesse Facebook. Apparently, they wouldn't let the police search the area.
But we know that from our other cases where there is very distinct laws and regulations about crimes that happen on a reservation as opposed to off of one. You know, they have two different systems. So for all we know, they could have been like, no, you can't. We need to have our own investigation because it's on the reservation.
And then did they investigate, though? Because then I say, and this is very, like, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, but, like, what if it was a murder? And they're covering up for one of their own.
I don't know. I kind of feel like this is that once in every, 10 cases where I'm like, are we thinking too hard about this? Is this just as simple as it seems?
But then where is the body? I know we've talked about people hiding their body, but it doesn't sound like he is one to feel the need to hide his body like that.
But we don't even know if it's hidden based on what we don't know about a potential investigation and search for him.
Yeah, according to the Facebook page, they will not let us search the area for remains. So I think it's very possible that either he did die by suicide, or I would say he is deceased, and it's either died by suicide or foul play. Mm-hmm. I don't think he left his life.
And I think so sadly and unfortunately, if true, I think he likely died by suicide and possibly as, you know, a secondary theory would probably be left his life. But I hate to hone so much in on a dog, but I know people with service dogs and I know people who love dogs and they would put the dog's needs ahead of their own. And I know I put my eggs in a basket on that one, but...
No, I agree. You want to open it up and have everyone else do us their thoughts?
Yeah, please do. I'm going in circles now.
All right, guys. Tell us what you think. Social media, you know where to get us. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.